over the last number of months, we had to take time out of Christmas and different things, but we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. The gifts of the Spirit are not talked about in all churches. And there's a couple of reasons for it. There's certain churches and certain groups that don't believe in it. In other words, they just don't acknowledge it. There's other groups of churches that don't understand it. So because they don't understand it, they don't talk about it. There's other groups of churches that understand it, know about it, but they're too scared to talk about it because it creates chaos at times. Now, here's what I mean by that. You know, if you have the gifts of the Spirit flowing in a service, things don't go the way you as a pastor plan it to go. And we had that happen last week, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, where God did something. And so the point is that sometimes it's a control issue for the people. But one of the things that I want to address before we really get into this is one reason why people don't talk about the gifts. And usually it's because the heads, the leaders, don't really believe it. Here's why they don't believe it. They prayed for somebody. They went up to somebody, friend was sick, and they prayed for him, and nothing happened. Or even worse, they died or got sicker. And so what can that person come to a conclusion? They say, well, look, I prayed in faith. I prayed for God to heal him, and nothing happened. Nada. In fact, maybe they got worse, And so you could come to what? A conclusion to say, well, therefore, I tried to act upon God's word. Nothing happened, or it got worse. Therefore, I guess it's not for today. Now, could you see that anyone could come to that conclusion? You absolutely can. And we need to be honest about this. Because people are going to ask you one day, they're going to say, well, why do you believe in the New Testament? Why do you believe that all of God's word is true? When? And then they'll bring up examples. I prayed for so-and-so and nothing happened. Or I did this or I saw this. And you could very easily cause your faith to fail in the whole area of gifts very quickly. Here's something you need to remind yourself about. It's not about you. It's about Christ in you. See, one of the things that people get a little messed up with, they think they've got these gifts and it's about them exercising it. Here's what I mean. Well, I see someone sick, so I am going to pray and they're going to be healed by me. So you see where this can go? It's not about you at all. You're a vessel. You're just a person that God's working through. He decides who to heal, who not to heal at certain times. And in fact, our greatest example is the book of Acts. Look at all the apostles, look at all the different people who were just walking with Jesus, and at different times, I give you an example. You've got Peter and John were going up to the temple, you remember? And there was this guy there begging alms, you remember? So all of a sudden, Peter looks at him and says, look, silver and gold I don't have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Guy jumps up, starts running around screaming. Awesome, right? Here's my question for you. It says, as you read in the book of Acts, that the apostles would go to the temple daily to pray. How many weeks or months or years did they walk by that guy that was sitting there? In other words, it wasn't about Peter and John. It was they were walking by, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to them, hey, it's time. And then there was a Holy Ghost connection made there where Peter spoke to him. The man spoke back, acted back, and there was a miracle that happened there. In other words, it's not about you and me. It's about us walking in the Spirit, being at the right place at the right time, and then as the Holy Spirit directs us, the gifts then go into operation. But so many times, the teaching that's out here, especially in North America, is that it's all about you. You can make this happen, you can make that happen. I don't know about you, but I'm not that big. You know what I'm saying? I think Jesus is a lot bigger. I'd rather be His servant. I've learned over the years to let Him work through me. And it's not about me at all. It's not about you. But I'll tell you, the awesome ride you get out of that, and here's what I mean, is as you follow Jesus around, in other words, He's not following you, you're following Him. As you follow Him, the places and the things that you will experience and the people that you'll be able to touch in Jesus' name are amazing. And so listen, you see someone in need, it's not that I'm saying ignore them. It could be easy. Now, you could fall off the other side of the bridge, so to speak. You see crippled people or somebody hurting, Jesus, let me know if you want me to do something. And you totally ignore him. Listen, that's not what I'm saying either, okay? The idea is to have compassion. That you would see that Jesus, it would say, he had compassion and he did this and that. I think we need to have eyes to see, amen? You see someone in need? Here's how I do it. I see someone in need. I just say, Lord, do you want to do something today? What do you want to do? And if I hear or sense something, I then act upon it. If I don't, it doesn't mean that I don't pray for that individual. and say, hey, Lord, you know, just help them. You know, I pray that, you know, their day comes where you're going to just do that miracle. See, we need to understand that God is God and we're not. Amen. But that doesn't negate the gifts. So you could see again how people, if they don't have a correct theological understanding, they just throw the whole thing away and say, well, guess God just doesn't do this today. In fact, there's whole denominations that believe that when the last apostle died, that the gifts died with them. I don't see that in my Bible. I just don't. As you read the books of the Bible, as you read through even to the book of Revelations, you could see where gifts of the Spirit were still at work. But again, it's not on our timetable. It's not us. It's Him working through us. Amen? So what we've gotten to, we talked about word of wisdom, word of knowledge last week. And today we're going to take a few minutes and talk about the gift of faith. Now, I want to say something before we even start. And this is really, really important. You got all these gifts. What are these the gifts of? What's the last part? The gifts of what? The Holy Spirit. Now, I used to have, my wife used to have on the counter by our sink, this giant glass diamond. I wish it was real. It'd be worth like $50, $60 million. It's one of those, you know, just giant things. And so when the sun would shine on this piece of glass, it would kind of reflect. And I was going to bring it, but apparently my grandson stole it because he thought it was really cool and took it home. That's what I found out. All right. So I hope that's not any sign of the future. Okay. So we're going to have a talk with him about that. So I went again and it wasn't there. I wish I could be holding it right now. But the idea is that as you take that piece of glass, that diamond, and you would move it, the glass, the light would hit that and refract the light all different ways. So you'd have this sparkling all. But you have one diamond reflecting different ways. And that's how you need to see the gifts and, for that matter, the fruit of the Spirit. It's one Spirit manifesting different ways. And you're going to find that as you look at Scripture, that you rarely, if ever, in fact, I don't see any place in Scripture where you see just one gift in operation. You know, we're going to be talking about the gift of faith, but when we look up the Scriptures, you're going to see that it was always in conjunction with other things, like a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. In other words, there was always other gifts in operate, healing, you know, miracles, was always a part of it. Why? Because it's one Spirit, all right? And so here we are kind of splitting it all apart, saying, well, you got this gift, that gift. They're one Spirit. That's why I fully believe that the gifts are available to every believer if necessary, because you all have the Holy Spirit living in you. Amen? Now, do we have expertise areas? I believe that there are of us, each one of us kind of have different areas where we have greater giftings in, all right? In my life, you know, I've been able at times to operate in prophecy and those kinds of things, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't heal at times and do other things. But that's kind of my bent. That's just what God's done in my life. I know other people, they can just pray for people and stuff happens. They have the gift of healing, working in miracles in their life. And it's like, well, I wish I had that. How many people wish they had other gifts? Well, listen, just work on your own, all right? You know, I had the Lord rebuke me one day. I was jealous of this one person. I'm like, oh, man, I wish I could do that. And Jesus just tapped me on the shoulder. And He said, you be the best I've called you to be. You don't worry about them. And sometimes we get all, you know, so focused on everyone else, we're not doing what we're called to do. Amen? Yeah, where Jesus said to Peter, follow me. You do what I'm calling you to do. And so these gifts, though there's such a variety of them, it's one Spirit, and He lives and abides in you. And I want to say to you, there's not one person here that hasn't experienced one miracle in their life. And you might say, well, hold it. I've never seen, you know, blind eyes healed. I've never seen the lame walk. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the greatest miracle of all happened. Your heart of stone was turned to a heart of flesh. A heart that now is on its way to heaven instead of hell. That's the greatest miracle you will ever experience. Everything else is secondary, amen? Now, I've seen lots of stuff, all right? But the greatest miracle of all in my life was the day that I knew Jesus was real to me. And the course of my life was changed forever, 31 years ago, amen? You know, that number just keeps getting bigger and bigger. That's kind of scary. Amen. But God is so good. So let's take a minute and just look at this. There are three types of faith listed in the Bible. And so the first one is saving faith. And we've talked a little bit about that. You know, God draws you with the gospel. You believe and you respond. God draws you to believe that Jesus died for you and washed your sins away to enable a relationship with Him, because He's holy. Amen. You know, every other religion has these systems to try to get to God. Now that doesn't even make sense, right? Here we are, sinners. How could we ever build a bridge to God? And so what God did, He built a bridge to us through the cross of Calvary. Amen? Very simple. Here's a scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which kind of confirms this. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so here faith is in action where, and another word for faith is believe. It's important for you, you know, again, the word faith is a little bit elusive, but believe or trust. That's another synonym for the word faith. Here's Romans 10 verses 8 and 11, 8 to 11. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart one believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Amen. Now you might say, well, look at the, if it's all about faith and trust, where do I get that from? Well, let's just look at this. No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So what's amazing, that even though salvation is a free gift, there's a drawing, there's a part that God does. You know, I quoted Revelation 3:20 earlier, you know, talking about the knock on the door. I believe. Now, when we get to heaven, we can have a talk to the Lord about this. But I fully believe that everyone who's ever lived and will ever live has an opportunity to accept Christ at some point in their life. Then, in other words, I don't care whether you're in the deepest Islamic part of the world that God, because I hear testimonies all the time of visions appearing to people where Jesus just shows up and says, hey, you need me, and that person accepts Christ. Can I tell you that God could go through any barrier, any prison wall, any religious institution, and reach anybody He wants, amen? Any hungry heart. And so I believe that God can do that, because He's God, amen? Now that doesn't negate your job and mine to be a light to the world, amen? You know, we need to do our part as God directs us. But I want to tell you something. If you don't do it, the rocks will cry out. Amen? That's what the Word says. For I say through the grace given to me that everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, what I love about this scripture, it shows the God part of us believing. You know, in my early days, I always thought, well, look it. Jesus presents himself, and we choose to accept him. In other words, it's all on us, in a sense. Yet it says there that God has given us a measure of faith. In other words, God has put a little seed inside of every human being for the ability to believe for salvation. It's like a seed, it's there. Because only God can do that. Think about that. If we were totally degenerate, how could any part of us rise up to accept Christ? So somehow, even in our free will, I don't fully get this, all right? I'm just telling you how I see it right now, that God has put a little part of Him in us. In fact, the Bible says this, that we live and breathe and have our being through Him. In other words, the fact that you can take a breath, we exist because God made us in the first place. So it only makes sense that there's kind of a little seed that He places inside of every human being that is able to germinate and grow to a point of believing to salvation. Again, I don't fully understand it. I'm going to have a talk with the Lord. That's on my to-do list. So I'm going to ask Him, how did that all work? You know, and let Him show me. But that's how I see it right now. And so this is all part of saving faith. So the next one is what we call scriptural faith. Another name that it might be called is the word of faith. But let's just call it scriptural faith right now. And it's the promises of God are heard, you believe, and respond. So the scriptures and the revelation by the Holy Spirit produce faith to believe His word. So essentially, this is a faith or trust in God's word. Amen? As the Holy Spirit directs you. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. How many people are familiar with that scripture? It's a great scripture, amen? But I want you to see this. You know, faith, obviously, is trust, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you look this up in the original Greek, it's actually very interesting. So faith comes by hearing. Well, you think, okay, hearing, listening. That's not actually what it means. It's a step further than that. It's not just hearing. It's perceiving or understanding what's being said. So faith comes by perceiving or understanding, and hearing or perceiving and understanding by the word of God. Now, what's interesting, that word, word, there's two Greek words for the word word in the Bible. One is logos, and that actually means if you look at your Bible, it's the written word as it's recorded. And the other one is rhema, and that means the spoken word or the word that isn't just black and white on the page but becomes alive. It's anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now what's interesting, this word here is rhema. And so it's not a revelation of just the written word, but actually it's the spoken word. It's as the word has come alive in you. So faith comes by perceiving, and perceiving by the spoken words. And in fact, the word God there is actually Christos. It's actually the word of Christ. So it's not even just God. It's and who is the living word? Jesus. So you can begin to put it all together here. Faith comes as you and I walk with Jesus on a daily basis. You know, the Bible says that in Genesis, the very beginning, that God would come in the cool of the day and walk with Adam and Eve. And then we know what happens, right? You have sin comes into the world, everything gets messed up, and they were cast out of the garden. And we don't see God any longer walking with people as like that anymore. I want you to think about this. If Jesus died for our sins and did everything that the Bible says that he did to restore us back into relationship with him, then that means that you and I can walk with God like Adam and Eve did in the garden. If the Bible is true, that's true. The question is, do you believe it? You see, if you don't believe it and you don't act upon it, you won't experience it. And that's why a lot of people don't experience the gifts of the Spirit. They either don't believe it, and as not believing it, they're not going to act upon it. They don't act upon it, they won't see the results of it. And so I choose not to put God in a box. I choose to let God be God and say, look, you do whatever you want to do. Now, we all put God in a box to a degree, but we need to open the box lid and just let him out. Amen? Amen. Faith comes by hearing or perceiving, and perceiving and understanding the words of Jesus. Amen. Then they said to him, what should we do that we may do the works of God? So some people asked Jesus, what do we do? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. And when it says believe in him, that's believe in the words that he said. Amen. And so as you and I, that's what we need. If you want to work for God, if you want to, you know, get a brownie point in a sense, believe his word. Trust him at his word. That's where faith begins to grow in our lives. So scriptural faith is something that can grow. In other words, let's say you begin in your walk and you pray for someone. Someone's got a cold, all right? You pray for them. And God heals them. They get better. Like, whoa, that was cool, right? All right, and then the next time you got someone who maybe is suffering from some kind of eye deal where they're losing their eyesight, and you pray for them, and whoa, God does something. Well, what's happened? Faith is growing on faith, because you say, well, look it, God healed this person with a cold. I believe God can do more. And so faith can grow on faith, and that's really what scriptural faith is. And you can grow faith to faith, glory to glory. The Bible talks about that. And so there is a place that you can grow faith, in a sense, in your life. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And the reason I bring this up is, it's not you doing this so much, but it's you keeping the word of God, being obedient to him, seeing the fruit of it, and that expands your faith to believe for more. But it's still not about you. You get what I'm saying? It's about God working through you, and always has been. So look at this in Mark 11:22-24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You know, there are certain groups of people who would use this portion of scripture to say, well, look, if you really want something, you just believe for it and you just speak it, you know, kind of the name it and claim it type thing. But it doesn't say that, because it says when you ask, pray. So what it's meaning is that as you are walking with God and he reveals things to you, then you can act upon it. There's a song, a current song out right now by Laura Dingle. Daigle. Okay, I'm close. Daigle. All right. Anyway, there's a line in the song which says, before I bring my need to God, I bring my heart to God. It brings me to tears every time I hear the song. Because the whole song is just filled with one-liners like that. Before I bring my need, I bring my heart. The idea is that you come to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Help me sort out my feelings, my emotions, what I want, what's not right. And then when my heart's right, then my need will be pure. And you know, as I look at this scripture, that's exactly what this is talking about. And again, different people would distort that and say, well, you can just name whatever you want. But it talks about right at the bottom, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. The idea is you've brought your heart to Jesus. He's then revealed to you what you need. And then when you pray, it's going to happen. I believe here in North America especially, we're praying our greeds rather than our needs. In other words, it's all about us. And we're really not 100% concerned for God's heart and God's purposes. It's, hey, what about me? Doesn't the Word say that when we care for other people, I'm paraphrasing, when we care for other people, He'll look after us? That's what the Word says. I think we need to start to be more caring for others. Amen? So it's scriptural faith is not faith in faith, but faith in Him. You know, I've heard it, you know, sometimes you're listening to the TV or you're reading a book and you hear this, you know, you just got to have more faith. How do you do that? You know what I'm saying? What kind of crazy talk is that? All right? So it's not faith in faith, but it's faith in Him. It's always been that way. You know, again, they had back in the 50s and 60s, they were called faith healers. And the idea was they were kind of, some of them had sort of departed from the Word. And they were really just thought, well, you just have to believe harder. You just squeeze your eyes harder. You know, get more faith. That's crazy talk. That's absolutely crazy. Faith in Him that He's going to do the miracle. Amen? You know, I'll tell you, my life is easier now than it's ever been. Because in the early years, it was like, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? You know, I was just like this, Lord, I just want to make sure everything's the way you want it to be. You know what, now? I'm so chilled now. You ask my wife, I am really, now you might not think so, but I am way more chilled than I used to be. To the point where it's like, Lord, look, I'm going to prepare, I'll do my part, and it's up to you. It really comes, because if the miracle worker doesn't show up, which is Jesus, then nothing's going to happen. It's the way it is. And we have to live life a little bit like that, whether it's at work or at school or at home. We just got to take a chill pill and trust Him. Have faith in Him and walk with Him. He's the miracle worker. You're not. You can try as hard as you want. It's not going to change what God wants to do. Amen? I just encourage you with that. I believe that some people are having heart issues and health issues and all kinds of stuff as a result of stress that they don't need to have. Amen. Okay, this is the last one that I want to talk about, and this is the gift of faith. This is actually a whole different beast, so to speak, all right? It's a special faith that is holy God. The Holy Spirit moves at the time of the event. Your part, you're just showing up. You're just at the right place at the right time and are willing to be used by God. It has nothing to do with your faith building upon faith, nothing to do with any of that at all. It's way out of your league, okay? It's just way out of your league. You just happen to be in the right place at the right time. So here's from the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from the list, just so you can see it. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So again, the key here, the same Spirit. Amen? If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of Christ living in you, those gifts are part of you. Again, you have expertise. God raises up certain parts of it that work in you. Maybe because of your character. I don't know. I don't know why He does what He does. But He's God, and let's just let Him do what He wants to do. Amen? Here's an example. I have a couple of examples of the gift of faith in operation. So this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. So if you look at it, This lady was doing this for days and days and days and days. Yet Paul ignored her. But there was a moment in time where I believe the Holy Ghost said, "Now." And he spoke, demon left. And so there's the gift of faith in operation. With other gifts, right? You know, you got the miracles at work, right? I suspect word of knowledge, because here's God must have said to Paul, now, you know, and so you have all a bunch of different gifts intertwined together. Don't try to separate them all out completely. They all kind of work together in concert. Amen? Okay, button. There we go. This is an excellent scripture. Acts 14, 9-10. This man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Look at that. So you see a couple of different gifts in operation. Again, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Paul looked at this guy and saw that he had faith to be healed. How do you see that he had faith to be healed? Something was on him. You know what I'm saying? There was something about him that Paul said, "Jesus," and Jesus said, "Tell him to get healed. You know, get up." And so you see the gift of faith in operation here. It wasn't something that was planned for. In other words, Paul didn't somehow conjure this thing of, oh, you know, I'm just going to have more faith today and I'm going to... It was none of that. He's just preaching, teaching, doing what he's doing, and then the miracle happened out of it. Amen? And so last week, we had an event happen. How many people were here last week? So quite a few of you. So here's what happened. Let me tell you what happened. Now I can give you the inside story. If you remember at the start of service, we had praise and worship, you know, and I really felt the Lord to do an altar call. I hadn't planned on it, didn't really want to, because it messes up stuff, right? You know, you got to plan, okay? You want to do certain things. And I just felt, you know, let's do this. And so, I even said that to you. I said, this isn't normal. This isn't what we normally do. And we had an altar call. And many of you came up for prayer. And so one of those people that came up was Bucky. Come on up, Bucky. I'm going to interview you. We did this at Boys Club, and we had a great time. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, Bucky, did you plan on coming up? Like, in other words, did you, like, if someone had said to you before service, you know, would you respond to an altar call? What would you have said?
Oh, yeah. Well, I usually do, but I didn't really even know you were going to do one.
Okay. And so when the call went forward for you to come forward, what happened on the inside?
Oh, yeah, I was totally excited. I know Regina was, too, right next to me. We were waiting because when you said that we're doing something out of the norm, you know, that's always really cool. And so, yeah, I just wanted to run up and be the first one up. I wanted to trip Regina and so that I got here before her.
All right, so here you are. You're in line. And so what were you expecting or believing from God? Was there anything in specifically that you were seeking Him for?
I have some issues, but... you know, it was my mom, because that's what I've been dealing with. It was my mom worried that she has dementia and all these things, so she's living in fear, and it's driving me up a tree, you know.
Sure.
So I feel so bad for her, so that was on my mind.
Probably your primary reason for coming up. All right, so you're up here, and what happened?
Well, it was a little different. I've been up here, and I went down plenty of times, but I came up, and I just stood right here, and, you know, we're just kind of, okay, so who's, you know, come on over here kind of thing. And then Carl walked over that way, and I'm like, okay, so he's going to start at the end. And I was just, oh, you know, and getting into the song, because they had him do You Are Beautiful, you know, do that song again. And so I was getting into that. All of a sudden, Carl comes barreling back over, came over towards me, and bang, down I went. I was like, whoa, you know, and so I just laid there, and because I know he had gotten a word from the Lord. It's the only reason he would, you know, just go like that. And but I just laid there, and I was just, of course, very, very calm and comfortable, and it just felt so good. But I said, because I really want to know, you know, I said, what did you do, Lord? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I'm thinking about my mom and things. And while I'm laying down thinking about that, I'm kind of moving my hands and. I said, what did you do? What did you do? This is exciting, you know. I'm just dying to see what you did. And as I'm moving my hands, I'm saying, really, Pop? Honestly, did you really? Felt no pain or nothing. I got what's called, I'm a bricklayer and all that, but my thing is called psoriatic arthritis.
What was it?
What was it? It was psoriatic arthritis. Pretty wicked pain, you know. I had thought I had broke my hand, Tom, once, you know, because I get nutty and punch things that you're used to anyway. But I got a x-ray of it, and they said, no, you got no broken bones. You're just missing everything between the knuckle or something. I said, oh, that's nice. And that's when I found out I had psoriatic arthritis. I just couldn't believe it. I'm healed of psoriatic arthritis, which I think is impossible. It's a God thing. And so, but he was talking about faith to faith. So while I'm laying there and I'm thinking, oh my God, you healed me. There's always something. I've been healed of other things. And besides that, my wife comes to mind with fibromyalgia. And she just kept, anytime she felt something, because she'd come up and get prayed, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed and made whole. And it would just go right away. She was healed of fibromyalgia. And I've seen Amen. Other people healed of some. I've seen so many things that the faith Amen. Had built on faith and faith and had no problem believing it. But it was still hard to take in. I didn't really say much, like, during service.
Yeah.
I was like, my God, did you really do this?
You know?
And he also told me that he did something with my mom, that he's doing something. And so I'm thankful and very excited.
Amen. Awesome. Yeah. Amen. Now, from the other side, you know, we had the altar call. I'm like, okay, what do you want to do? Now, I never usually do this, but I felt the urge to get catchers. Now, we normally, you know, sometimes we have catchers, sometimes we don't. So I went and got, I think it was Roberto. I said, look, you need to follow me. And normally, I never, ever, ever do that. I don't usually get that. So then, and then right away, I can't explain it. Maybe kind of like the Apostle Paul. I just saw that Bucky needed prayer now, that I needed to pray for him now. And then, you know, different people, I prayed different ways, different things. But the point is, it wasn't me. I just showed up at the right place at the right time to be a vessel for Jesus to work through. And that's the gift of faith in operation, with word and knowledge, you know, with other stuff working in there. But here's what I want to tell you, and you know, kind of in some final thoughts. It's not just for a pastor or for somebody that's known Jesus for a long time. It's for anybody who loves Jesus. In other words, the gifts, the same Spirit that lives in me, lives in you. The same Jesus. The same Jesus. And I can't encourage you enough to be open to Him, alright? The idea is that when you just sense, hey, I should do this or say this, take a step of faith and see what Jesus will do, amen? Now you can play it safe, alright? And if you've accepted Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. Okay, it's all good. You've got a ticket to ride, all right? You're going to go to heaven. But wouldn't you rather get to heaven with some cool stories? You know, what Jesus has done? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, the same stuff that God did with Peter and James and John and Paul, all the apostles, the same Spirit that was in them is in you. The same gifts of the Spirit are available, and God has given them and distributed them to you. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Like, Christianity is not boring. Not true biblical Christianity. It's an exciting life. And we're church, you know, that's who we are. If you just want to be, you know, in a warm seat and that, this really isn't the place for you. We want to energize you to do what God's called you to do, to bring glory and honor to Him. Amen? Let's stand and pray together. Lord, we just love you so, so much. And Lord, you are still working today. We just heard a testimony, Lord God, of something that happened just last week, Lord God, from someone we know. It's not somebody on TV or someone just, we don't know. Listen, Bucky would never lie to anybody. He's just not in his nature. And so, Father, he just said, this is what happened. And so, Lord, I'm grateful for his testimony because it helps to grow faith in others, Lord God, to realize, hey, you're still alive, Jesus. You're still at work. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what your scripture says. So if you healed in the Bible, you still heal today. But it's your way, Lord God. Not our way, it's your way. And so, Lord, I pray that we can begin to position ourselves better, Lord God. That we would just be open to your guidance and your direction of the Spirit, Lord God. So that when you do speak, we're in a place that we can be a vessel, Lord, that would glorify you. That the gifts could flow through us and bring healing and restoration and hope and all of the things that you want to do through your gifts, Lord God. Demonstrated through the fruit of love, Lord God. That love that passes all understanding. That unconditional love that we're to show to those around us. So Lord, let us be true beacons of love and hope this week as we look to you for our strength, knowing that we're not alone. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you need prayer specifically for anything, love to pray with you. Have a blessed week.